All right, good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here this morning. Today we're continuing our series, Stronger Together, as we go through the book of Ephesians. And today marks the halfway point. We're finishing up on chapter 3. You know, before, I think, 2010, I had done very little travel, especially any travel internationally. I think I had been to Brazil for some missions thing. And then, you know, Mexico. But other than that, I did very little travel. But after 2010, we got, because of missions things with our church, and we got connected with this international ministry group called that has these gatherings international. Dale and I, we did a lot of international travel. I mean, we've been to many, many countries in that time. And going and visiting different countries, there was something, one truth that was kind of reinforced to me, and it was this. It's one thing to know about something, like to know about a country or to know about a place or read about a place or even watch TV about a place. Very different to experience that place yourself. So as I think, I thought about what are some of my favorite places that I've been to in those 10 years or so. One was, I loved Paris. I loved Paris and being on the Eiffel Tower. I mean, you know, you've seen pictures of the Eiffel Tower, but actually being on the Eiffel Tower, looking, seeing all the scenery, the bridges, it was amazing. I thought of Japan. You know what I thought of Japan? The food. The food in Japan, even when you go to the 7-Elevens there, right? Their bento and the 7-Elevens, it's like amazing, right? And then another thing I thought of was sitting on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. That's just that feeling, right? Like, oh my, Jesus could have been right here. Jesus, I could be sitting where Jesus, there's nothing like that experience. And then I thought of Africa. I thought of, like, seeing we went to a slum in Nairobi. And by the way, we're putting together, like, a trip to Africa, small team, a delegation this summer. But I look back, and just the kids in the slums, the school in the slums singing. But one thing I'll never forget, we went to, on a safari. And this safari was to this, what's called a conservancy. So the conservancy, it's like a wild animal reserve, except they try to keep it as undeveloped as possible. So we went there, and I remember we were, right, Don and Dylan, right, we were riding in this, Mike Kyoto, the missionary, so we were riding with him. And I remember we were on these, like, undulating plains. And, you know, we'd see a few animals here and there. But we came over this one rise, and it was like, oh my, it was the wildebeest migration. We came over this rise, literally thousands of wildebeest. It was like indescribable. It was like awesome. And then we were driving amongst the wildebeest. It's like, you can't, as good as Nat Geo is, it's nothing like actually experiencing. You know, there's one thing to know something in our heads, something else to know it here because you've experienced it. And in the book of Ephesians, today we're going to look at this passage where Paul prays and he wraps up kind of this first half of Ephesians. I think what Paul is doing in this prayer, it's highlighting to us through his prayer, his heart. And his heart is, I've given you great teaching. The first three chapters of Ephesians, I've given you awesome teaching, profound teaching, great doctrine, great theology about, you know, your identity, all the blessings you have, that, you know, we've been saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And like what Lauren talked about, it's like God bringing the Gentiles and the Jews. He taught us all this theology, all this profound doctrine, all this good truth. But when he gets here, he says, but my heart is that you would know it, experience it. You would know by experience the things that I'm talking about. And that's the heart of his prayer. I kind of put Ephesians as an overview in this little chart. Actually, it felt like the Lord gave me this chart. Okay, so in this chart, we have, oh, there it is. Okay, you have the first seven Ephesians chapters 1-3, and then the passage we're going to look at today, wrapping up the first section, and then you have the second half of Ephesians, which we're going to get into in a couple weeks, right? And so you could look as an overview of Ephesians, you could look, and this part, it's about identity. It's about who we are in Christ, what God has done for us. It's all about identity. And then the last half, this part, it's about impact, impacting others, right? The 4-6, we're going to get into that. But this section right here that bridges the two, it's about intimacy with the Lord. You see, it's about, this is about spirit and spirit. It's like God's spirit and our spirit. When you receive Christ, it's one. Our spirit is joined together with the Holy Spirit. We are put in Christ. The Holy Spirit is put in us. We are bonded as one. That's a fact. Spiritually, that's who we are. Over here, Paul talked about body and actions. It's about living out the Christian life. But right here, this is our soul. It's our hearts. It's what we experience. It's like taking the truth of who we are and what's happened, but experiencing it in our soul so that it will come out through our lives. You can think about this as revelation. This is fruitfulness, but right here, encounter. If you have revelation, if you have truth without encountering God himself, that's dead. That's lifeless. Because the whole point is for us to have an intimate connection, relationship, encounter with God's presence and God himself. And then I just thought, this is know it, this is experience it, and this is live it. And so today we're going to focus on this center. Paul's talking about experiencing, encountering God in everything that I've been teaching you, right? So let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Let me read just 14 through 17, the first half of 17. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. What reason is Paul talking about? Lauren mentioned it in his message. The last verse of that previous section, verse 13, Paul says, I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to lose heart because I'm in prison, because of my circumstance. That's just like Paul. Paul says, I don't want you to lose heart because I'm in prison. He's more concerned for them than himself. He says, because my imprisonment is actually serving to be an example for you of life full on for God. It's for your glory. So he says, for this reason, that you may be losing heart, you may be getting discouraged. We can get discouraged in life. There's a lot of opportunity to lose heart. Maybe you're going through financial issues. Right? Finances are getting tough. There's inflation. Maybe you have work issues going on. Maybe you have health concerns. Maybe there's difficulties in your marriage or your family and there's conflict happening. There's many, many, just society in general. We can lose heart. Like the Ephesians were being tempted to lose heart. But Paul says, don't lose heart. That's why I am praying for you now. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Every person who has ever lived really has only one creator, one father, God, who's father of all. He says that, verse 16, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Paul's praying that God from this infinite wealth, how rich is God? Infinitely rich, right, Jackson? Infinitely rich from his infinite storehouse and resources. He prays that he would draw from that, that you might be strengthened where? Here. Inside. You know, we emphasize the outside so much. How we look. How we dressed, how our kids behave. You know, we put so much emphasis on our kids' behavior. Are they in the right school? Are they at the right place? Are they in the right activities? Are they behaving well? You know what's going to really make the difference with your kids? It's if they have the fire in here. If they are connected and have the life of the Spirit here, then whatever happens on the outside, whatever circumstances are going on, if they have that, they'll be fine. They will be fine. And Paul's prayer is that God, from his infinite wealth, might strengthen them here, inside. Why does Paul pray this? Verse 17. So that, Paul's going to give us the reason why he prays this prayer. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Let's go back to that chart. Right here, Paul says, so that Christ would dwell in your heart. So that you might know intimacy with Christ. So that Christ might affect how you think, how you feel, the choices you make, that you might know him in your soul. This is true about us spiritually, in our spirit. But for us to live it, it's got to touch our soul. It's got to touch our souls. That's what Revelation 3:20 is talking about. You know what Revelation 3:20? I'm sure you've heard of it. What? Behold what? Jesus talking? I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him. And he with me. This is today. Maybe Paul would say, I stand at the door and knock. He would say, my face is in your ring. I'm here. Let me in. I want to come. This passage, Jesus is talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. As Christians, we could be saved. We could be going to heaven. Our spirit could be one with his spirit, and yet our soul, our heart, we could keep them on the outside. We could keep the door shut. Or we could say, okay, Jesus, come on in. You just sit right here. You can't go into the bedroom. No, no, no. You can't go into that room. No, 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 no. No, kitchen. No, 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 no. And especially not that closet. And Paul is saying, let Jesus in here. Experience the life that God's already given you. You know, it's interesting. There's two words that says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. There's two Greek words for in. One word, in, or dwell in. One word, it's like as a guest, as a temporary visitor, right? You know you have guests coming from outside, from out of town. You say, okay, yeah, you could come and stay with us. What do? Before they come? Clean up, put everything away, hide everything under the bed, get everything away, because you want everything when they come and look nice. Like, wow, that's how you guys normally live? Yeah, all the time, yeah, right? And then there's another word for dwell in. That's to dwell in as a permanent resident. You know, it's very interesting to me when I go and visit or see people who have toddlers in their house. You know, they have, especially if it's a firstborn, they have a toddler. Right when you walk in, you know, this house has changed. Like my, you know, son-in-law and daughter, they have a toddler, they have a one-year-old. Walk in their house, right, it's like, what do I see? Toys all over the, every room has toys, right? There's toys all over the place, right? They have their little toy area here, their little toy area there, right? I go, someone's moved in to stay here. Right? Jesus, he wants to move in to stay, to make your life better, to free you from those things that have been hindering and hampering us. Don't want to just have good theology about Jesus. Just know the truth in our heads. We need that. We need good theology. We need sound doctrine. We need our beliefs founded on the truth. But Paul's prayer is that they would know Jesus. Not just know about, not just know like I knew about safaris in Africa, Watson, that's Geo. That's cool. I don't need to go now. You know, I hear that? I saw it on TV. I don't need to go now. Wrong. Completely different. When, like I said, when you see that river full of 20 hippopotamuses, is it hippopotami? I don't know. Bunch of them in the river. When you see a lion that has just had a kill, eating, look up, their face is all red. It's like, oh my gosh. Jesus wants you to experience him every day. And what it takes, you have to open your heart. To open your heart. Jesus. And tell him, Jesus, okay, come on in. I'm not going to lock off any area to you. Because I know anything you touch, anything you want to do, anything you want to rearrange and change, it's going to be for my good because you love me. Just acknowledge, open up your heart. Two, you have to give him full access even to the closets. Share with him. Share with him the different areas of your life. Talk to him about the different things going on in your life. Let him in. And then three, submit your heart to him and your life. That you desire every area of your life to come into alignment with Jesus. Because he wants to do that so you will experience more of him. Paul goes on in his prayer, Ephesians 17. And that, so he just said, so that Christ will dwell in your hearts, right? Then he says, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That's crazy, because he says, that you might know what you can't know, right? He says that you may know the love of Christ that surpasses your knowledge, because it's a spiritual knowledge. It's experienced knowledge. It's not what you can know here. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up. Who wants to be filled up? Do you want to be filled up? This is Paul's prayer, that you might be filled up, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Paul says that you might be rooted, grounded. Grounded means have a strong foundation, so that you will know how great God's love is. You know, we feel like God loves us. I know God loves me. But that's just a little sliver of understanding and experience of how much God really loves us. He says that you might know the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of God's love, so that the fullness of Christ might dwell in you. Experiential knowledge of that kind of God's love that surpasses understanding could only come in two ways. One, you have to invest time. Name me one relationship in your life that you're close, connected with, that you don't spend time with that person. It takes time. You know, we're so after the magic bullet today. We're after that quick fix. We're after that quick endorphin hit. I was talking to Jerry about this. We were talking about this thing right here, how this is wrecking people, wrecking us. This is teaching us to be selfish. You know why? Because you can look at, what do I want to look at? That's good. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to look at that. We just want that, you know, and I'm guilty too, adults. Give me the medication. Give me the cholesterol medication so I don't have to be healthy. I don't have to exercise. I can eat whatever I want. I just get that medication and I'm good to go. No, you're not. No, you're not. There's no shortcuts. You want to be healthy? Eat good, exercise. You want to know and experience the intimacy of God? You've got to put in time with Him. You've got to put in time with Him. You've got to open your heart. You've got to engage your feelings. You've got to cultivate that intimate relationship. The greatest, the best thing, the best discipline that I've done that has had the greatest impact in my life is my journaling. And I just keep it short. One of those composition books, one page of a composition book or less. Every day, God, what do you want to say to me today? Just write it down. It's investing time. Secondly, you want to experience the love of God? You want to be rooted and grounded? Testing. Testing. You know, I saw this movie recently. It's called Bottle Shock. It's an interesting movie. It's about how, it's a story about how in the 70s, the California wines had this breakthrough so that they were seen as wines that could compete, that are on a par with the French wines. Because at the time, the French wines, that was it. That was the gold standard. Everything else was like junk. But in the 70s, these winemakers in Napa, right? They were making these incredible wines, and this story talks about that story. And in this movie, I thought it was very interesting because there's this dialogue between one of the main characters, the main winemaker, and like this apprentice, this gal. His name's Jim, and he is Sam. They had this really interesting conversation. So this is the dialogue. They're walking in the vineyard, and Jim says, "Well, Sam, This is where wine is made, the vineyard. And the vineyard's best fertilizer is the owner's footsteps. And then he reaches down, he picks up some dirt. He's like rubbing it in his hands. He says, I don't know what these terms mean, but he says, it's alluvial, sedimentary, volcanic soil. And then she says, dry. He says, right. Then he says, you want to limit the irrigation because it makes the vine struggle. It intensifies the flavor. A comfortable grape, a well-watered, well-fertilized grape grows into a lazy ingredient of a lousy wine. And then she says, so from hardship comes enlightenment. And then he says, for a grape. But in that story, you see, it's his life. And it's ours too. Either willingly so, put ourselves by stepping out in faith into situations where we have to depend and trust in God to be there. We have to depend on God's love for us to be there. He does love me. He will come through. Or when we're thrust into situations not of our own choice, but we're in a hard time. We're in a hard time. That's testing. That's the vines and the grapes being deprived of water and fertilizer. So the intensity of our lives and the Spirit. The love of God. We will experience his faithfulness, his love in the hard place. Last weekend, our youth, through the leadership of the youth leaders and Jerry, they willingly, or maybe not so willingly, put themselves in faith situations. And Tuesday, Jerry was sharing with us. He said, Jerry, share with us what happened at the retreat. Tell us some stories, what was going on. And he shared, and I thought, our people need to hear. Our family needs to hear what God did with the youth. So they're going to come up, and they're going to share. He's going to interview them. They're going to share about their retreat this past weekend and how God moved. So, Jerry, why don't you guys, and then those that go share, come on up.
Check. All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Barry, for allowing us to share some amazing stories that happened last weekend. I'm Jerry. If you don't know me, I've been at Catalyst on staff for 14, 15 years, something like that. And I'm currently the Family Ministries Director. But my heart really is for high school ministry. Been doing it for such a long time, and every year, I'm so proud of these guys. And talking about testing of faith, you get older and you're like, how long can I keep doing this? I keep doing it. I keep doing it because the love for these guys. Lots of testing, but so much good things. Last weekend we had an awesome retreat, and we have four of our high schoolers here to share. So why don't you guys go down the row and share your name, your grade, and what high school you went to, or go to.
Okay, hi, I'm Mimi. I'm a freshman, and I go to Cerritos High School.
My name is Sean. I'm a junior, bro, and I go to Gabrielino High School.
My name is Micah. I'm a senior, and I go to Gar High School. My name is Gavin. I'm a sophomore, and I go to John F. Kennedy High School.
Oh, we went full name. All right, go Irish. Go Irish. Thanks, guys. So we have representation throughout all of our grades, which is so awesome. And so, again, last weekend was awesome. Kind of the three main things I would say that we entered into that weekend was, number one, our evening sessions was led by YWAM Long Beach. And so YWAM is Youth with a Mission, and they are missionaries from all over the world. And there is a branch out here in Long Beach where we made connections 9 years ago with Johnny and Nina Pokoroba, and they are so amazing. They're so awesome. Him and his team gave us the teachings and the word that sustained us through the weekend, gave us a lot of great insights and wisdom, but really it was the testimonies that inspired us, hearing what they've done in the Philippines, in Japan, in Mexico, in the Middle East, in New York, right after 9/11 happened. They were in the streets and on the ground doing ministry, and so it was awesome to hear all those wonderful things that taught us. But really the two other things that were really a part of our retreat that I really want to dig into today. One was the outreach with civic engagement. Civic engagement, to me, it's more than just community service. It's more than just volunteering. It's more than just working with organizations. It's being a part of the community and really us as a church being engaged with them and doing things together. And then number two was evangelism. Outreach where it's spirit-led, where there's really no agenda. There's not an organization to tell us what to do. It's really, we got the heart to love on people. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And so those were the two routes that I want to go through. So whoever wants to share, what were the two community service, civic engagement things that we did on Saturday and Sunday?
I'll go. Yeah, go for it. So the first one was a beach cleanup where we would go and then we volunteered for like 30 minutes and then to an hour, where we would pick up trash on the beach. And for the first 30 minutes, we were just focused on just picking up the trash and like going around and yeah, just looking at the trash and just picking it up, putting it in a bag. And we would put it in a dumpster. But for the last like 20 minutes or so, Jerry challenged us to just go out and talk to the people that were actually there volunteering with us. And for me, like, that was a pretty hard thing to do, because like, when you look at the people volunteering, they're so like engaged in picking up the trash. Like, it doesn't really seem like they want to talk to you. They just want to pick up all the trash they can. But yeah, I think for me, especially that activity was so hard, because I don't go to a beach a lot, and like, I wasn't really engaged with the people there. So it was kind of hard for me to just go up and step out in faith and yeah, just talk to them. But I think through that, my faith has grown, and just to be obedient in what God has, and just to say yes, even when it doesn't seem like I want to, like, my fear is less than, and God is way bigger than my fear. But yeah.
We obviously did not rehearse. Excuse us.
One of you guys, I don't.
Maybe share about
Okay, so in Sunday morning, we went to a food bank in Long Beach, and they're like a non-secular organization, and we got there, and we didn't really know what we were doing at first. There was no plan for it, but we were given the prompt. They had all these paper bags with like people's like address and like all their dietary restrictions or just any instructions. And we were given the prompt to basically pack groceries for all these, for whatever people's name was on these bags, for a week. So we would, and it's a big warehouse. It's not like Costco size, but it's like a pretty big warehouse. And we would go in pairs. And we would basically just like grab like grain, cans. And we were basically just packing meals, like meal plans for these people for the week coming. And for me, it was just really eye-opening, because it's like, I think my mom said this, but she's like, aren't you so grateful that we go to the grocery store now? And I think it's something that we all take for granted. It's like, oh, these people, like, we're packing for these people. When I get home, I can go into the fridge and get like whatever I want. But for these people, like, it's what's whatever is in this bag. And I'm packing, like, what I would want for the week, basically, for them. I put myself in their shoes, and I would pack whatever I want. But it's so, I think, it was very, definitely very eye-opening just to say, like, oh, there's so many things that we're taking for granted. And just to see, like, all the blessings that God has given us.
I love it. I think those two outreaches in particular were good because it was easy. The organizations have it all set up. They train us, and they tell us what to do, you know? So often we don't do something because it's too much work or it takes too much capacity to go forward in it. And so I just really love, even though they're secular organizations, that it's like they're doing a really good thing. And how can we, as a church, support people doing a good thing? And then we'll bring Jesus in that situation. So I really love how these guys were just into it. And there was also even just a change and shift within them of when we're picking up trash at the beach. It's like, I remember talking to Sam, it's like, yo, I'm reconsidering using plastic straws, right? We're cleaning up more, and all this styrofoam was on the beach. And then Jaden's like, I'm really reconsidering using a styrofoam plate when I go out to a potluck, right? Like, there's these things that are changing within us for the good. The way that Mimi was sharing about the food bank of, wow, we're helping someone be fed for a full week. And there's little lessons that we're learning ourselves of how do we shop for ourselves and what types of ingredients do we need, and doing it so in blessing someone for that week. So. Thanks, guys, for sharing that. How about Micah and Sean? What were the afternoons like? We did outreach and evangelism on the streets, and there were two really challenging stretching of activities that we did. Why don't you guys describe what those two were like?
Okay, so for Saturday evening, we went out to the Pike in Long Beach in downtown, and what we were doing was like a treasure hunt. So basically we would receive from the Lord and like from the Holy Spirit and just jot down like any like descriptions or challenges that he wants us to look out for in people. So we would just write these things down and we just go out in groups and just like, I guess like just look for these people and that's basically what we did.
And so can you describe a little bit of what an interaction that you had where you received from the Holy Spirit on paper and then actually saw treasure with your own eyes walking around?
Yeah, so for our group, we kind of sensed, I was with Mimi, Delilah, and Grant. So for our group, we were kind of sensing to go out to like the Nike store and the H&M store. So. First thing we did was we walked out there and we're just kind of walking around and we're just like, bro, like we're not really like sensing anything or no one's really like sticking out to us. But after walking around for a little bit, we were just like, okay, this isn't like really like working out. So let's just go down to the pier. And while we're walking down there, we're about to cross the road and we're walking up to like the streetlight or whatever, and we see these two guys, and they're like shouting stuff, and they're like, and we're like, what are these guys doing? And we walk up, and we hear like, oh, they're like, oh, repent of your sins, and they're talking about Jesus, and we're like, oh shoot, like these guys are evangelists too. So we walk up to them, and we just start talking to them, and we're like, oh yeah, we're trying to evangelize too, and we're out here on a mission, and it's going kind of slow. And I feel like God really placed them there to encourage us, because I was kind of sensing at the time that our group was feeling like a little bit discouraged after going to the places that we sensed from the Holy Spirit and not really seeing anyone that stuck out to us. So those guys, they spoke words of encouragement, and it was cool because. One of the things that I sensed from the Holy Spirit, I only sensed two things, but one of the things was brown shirt. And right after that, right after talking to them, I saw a guy in a brown shirt walking down. I was like, oh shoot, that's a guy. Because earlier I saw someone else in a brown shirt. And I was like, they were kind of far away, and I was just like, oh shoot, is that them? And I didn't really like, I was just kind of scared, to be honest. So I was just like I don't want to run all the way over there. Like, that's kind of weird. So I was like, but then after a while, I was like, oh shoot, maybe I should have gone up to them. I'm like, God, just like, give me another chance, God. Give me another chance, and I'll just step into whatever you put in front of me. And here comes this guy in a brown shirt. I'm just like, oh shoot, that's the guy. And, you know, we're right off talking to those evangelists, and I'm just feeling pumped. I'm just like, oh shoot, like, I'm ready to go up to like whoever and just like talk to them and share God's love. So I went up to this guy, and he was with his friend, and and we were just, I don't know, I just was kind of just being honest with him. I was like, this is kind of weird. It's my first, one of my first times doing this, and we're out here on a mission trip, and we're doing kind of a treasure hunt thing, and I just kind of sense someone in a brown shirt, and God pointed you out to me, and just kind of sharing that, you know, God loves them, and God's waiting for them, and they seem to be really appreciative of the fact that, like, that I guess we're just being honest with them, you know? Because one of the things about, like, Christianity, like, I feel like, that people really don't like is when people, like, quote-unquote, like, force, like, the religion onto them. And, you know, I feel like it's important to get out the truth, but in that moment, God really showed me, like, oh, just, like, be honest and share your heart and what I've done in your life, and I'll make a way, and I'll reveal to people my love. So, that was really encouraging, and I couldn't stop talking about it with like my group. I was like, dude, like, God is so good. Like, do you guys see what God just did there? Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Thanks, Seth. I love your quote of, oh, they're evangelists too, meaning we're evangelists, right? I love that you've embraced that aspect of our identity as Christians. And so thanks, Sean, for throwing that in. Micah, on Sunday night, that was our last full day. What was our afternoon session on Sunday?
Yeah, so what we did was probably the most daunting thing that, like, a lot of us experience, a lot of Magnetic has experienced as evangelists, which was door-to-door. So we would, and we were in our backyard. We were literally in this neighborhood. Like, I've driven down this street literally thousands of times, and I was like, oh, this is the people that live at this house. That's cool. So what we did was we were knocking on people's doors. We had chocolates. We had bags of chocolates, and we were like, hey, thanks for, we go to the church, like, right down the street, Stanford Middle School. Thank you for letting us be a part of your community. Do you want to hear some chocolates? And is there any way we could pray for you? That was our in. and I've done this before, this past Sunday. I've done this two other times. So I'm the kind of the veteran here.
More than me. You're more than anyone.
Yeah. So, and the past two times, that was just straight up unsuccessful. I mean,
in what way?
Not necessarily unsuccessful in the fact that I didn't do anything, but more, I didn't, like, necessarily get to pray for anyone. That was my goal. I'm like, okay, I want to pray for someone this time. So, I knocked on this door. I was with Sam and Eli, and Eli's a freshman. This is his first time. So I was like, oh, we get the first time. We get the rookie. So I was really excited. The first door, I was with Eli. We walk up to this house. The first time the first door that's opened for Eli, this nice lady comes out with her, like, maybe toddler-aged kid, and she's like, hi, right, like, super nice, and, you know, just kind of do our thing, like, hey, we're from Stanford, yada, yada, yada. And we're like, can we pray for you? She's like, sure, and I was like, oh, yeah. I was flabbergasted. I was like, oh, like, I wasn't expecting this. I was like, okay, yeah, wow. My head is just racing. But I just got to pray for her family, pray for health, pray for prosperity. And she's super nice. It was super cool. So it felt kind of full circle. This is my third time doing it and the first acceptance that I've ever gotten. And then this is Eli's first time doing it, the first time a door was opened for him, and we got to pray for her. So I just thought that was super cool. Like full circle moment for sure.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Micah. So, Gev, you had already alluded to it, but we did a lot. I mean, I ran these guys so hard. It's funny, I showed Johnny, he's a professional. Like, this is his calling, and he's done this for missionaries. And so I showed him our schedule, and he's like, dude, that's a lot. And so I ran these guys really hard, but they were so awesome, and they were in lockstep with what the Holy Spirit was doing. And so we did do a lot of encounters. Through those encounters, I know there was a lot of challenges, a lot of things that we had to overcome. Gev, Mimi, what were some of the things that you guys experienced or our team experienced that was difficult, and how did y'all just push through and really stay in alignment with the Lord?
Okay, so I think first of all, so we went to YWAM this last summer, and that was my first time evangelizing, and that was very hard, right? Going to a place I've never been and just speaking the word and going out. But this time, it's our community. I've been to these places, and for some reason, it was so much harder because I think in YWAM, I was like, oh, I'm never gonna see these people ever again. I'm just gonna do whatever I want. I'm just gonna go up to everyone I see. But when I'm here in Long Beach and when I'm looking at these people, I'm like, man, I feel like I've seen that guy before. Maybe don't talk to this guy. But I think that made it so much harder for me. And I think something that was so hard was just getting that first interaction, going out, stepping out for that first time. And yeah, that first time, the beach cleanup, I didn't go up to anyone really, and I felt discouraged by that. And yeah, I just prayed to the Lord with Sean when we were walking around. I was like, God, just make us be open, make us be free, and just spread your kingdom. And through that, I was so ready for the next one. And when we went to the treasure hunt, so I was in a group with Josh and Brandon, and so Josh got green jacket, and I think green jacket, and then you got curly hair, Brandon got curly hair, and I got a picture of a dolphin. So we were by the Aquarium of the Pacific, so there was a dolphin statue, so we just walked over there, and I just saw this guy in a green jacket, and he had curly hair, and he was by the dolphin statue. So I was like, you know what, this is the guy. And I didn't overthink it, I didn't tell my group I was gonna talk to him, I just walked over there, and when I was walking over there, this is the hardest part. It's just, this is when you get in your head. But I just prayed to God. I was like, God, what do you want me to talk about? And God was like, just be there for him. Just talk to him. So I was like, you know what? This is pretty easy. Let's just go up to him. Just talk to him. And he was a little bit reserved, but I was just able to just talk to him and just be there for him and just learn why he was there. And he was there he was a volunteer at the aquarium, which was very cool. And I was just, relating to him and just being there and being a friend to him. But I think just I overcame it by just not overthinking it and just committing, but also just trusting that in the Lord, and this is the guy you brought to me, and I know this is you, so I'm just gonna go out in faith and step and talk to him.
Come on.
Yeah.
For me, throughout the trip, I don't think I really voiced this to many of the people who went, but during the trip, because I look back on it now, I thought I got sick during the trip, I have a headache, okay, that's whatever. But looking back on it, I think it was, part of it was probably spiritual warfare. At first I thought I was sick. I was like, okay, we're going full days. I get 5 hours of sleep these days. That's basically what I thought it was. But looking back on it, I think it was, we were debriefing. We were about to go to door-to-door, and we were at the FC parking lot, and I just felt this giant pain in my stomach. I just felt this blinding pain in my stomach, and I was like, okay, that's not ideal. I'll just wait it out, but it kind of, one of the things, and that happened several times throughout the trip, I would feel sick, and I never really voiced it, because I was like, okay, it's just, I'm sick, that's whatever, I'll just deal with it on my own. But I think it was something that Micah said to me not too long ago. And obviously it feels like, okay, this really sucks. Like, I'm supposed to be having the time of my life right now. I'm supposed to be like evangelizing, like all this different stuff. But one thing that Micah told me not too long ago was God would never put you through something that he didn't think you couldn't handle. God always puts you through things because he knows you can handle it. And that really stuck with me. It's like, okay, I'm going to evangelize while I have a headache. That's not ideal, but I'm going to do it. And something that I kind of pieced together was I'm going to delight in this hardship because God thinks I can handle it, because God thinks that I'm more than capable of handling whatever's coming my way. And I think that's something that still resonates with me, and I know that can speak to so many of people in this room. And another thing that happened was a lot of us, we're all high schoolers, and I think that it's something that's very door-to-door, or just like talking to people, like random people in our neighborhood. I think that's something that's so daunting, and especially because all of us, like some of us came from like really stressful days at school. We just like came back from like volleyball practice or whatever. And just getting into that retreat mindset is something that's so hard. But just seeing how hyped like Sean or Micah or just literally any person in this room is, like just being able to see how excited people are, just being with someone in Magnetic, I think that instantly like lifts your spirit.
Yeah.
And I think it was something that was so exciting because, oh, I'm pushing myself, but I'm doing it with my favorite people.
Yeah.
I'm doing this with my family, and I think that's something that's so amazing.
Is there any stories that these guys have to hear that you haven't told yet?
Treasure Hunt? Okay, yeah. So we were, it was me, Sam, and Nancy Agnes. So we also did a treasure hunt. We were at the Pike. I got quite a few words. We were like kind of just wandering around, kind of near the Aquarium of the Pacific. And I remember walking at the pier, and I was like, dang, like it feels super cloudy. I do not feel this clarity. I have no idea what's happening. I was trying to get locked in, and like I didn't have the ability. I was feeling pretty discouraged. And I think at one point we were at the aquarium, in front of the Aquarium of the Pacific. And Auntie Agnes is like, you see that lady over there? You gotta go talk to her. I'm like, bro, okay, let's do it. So me and Sam walk up to her, and we're like, oh, how are you doing? And she's like, and we're like, we got a little closer. She's like an older woman. Like, we're like, how are you doing? Are you waiting for someone? She's like, we're like, oh shoot. And then eventually we start talking to her, but we're basically like yelling in her ear. She's like this, we were like, oh, okay, yeah, she's like this like mid-70s woman. Apparently, she's this Filipino great-grandma who's 93. And we were just like talking to her, just like being like listeners to her. And we were talking about like how...
What's happening right now? What the heck? Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
Oh, they stopped.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's like this 93 or like 90s-year-old woman who like walks the pier every single day. And we're like, dang, like she's in better shape than I am. But yeah, we just like got to listen to her stories. Her name was Clarita, super nice woman. She talked about how she almost got killed in like a robbery. We're like, oh my gosh, like who is this lady? But yeah, just getting to like, she was talking about how like her great-grandchildren are our age, like high school age. So I think that was kind of just like a parallel, like, oh, we get to be like the metaphorical grandchildren, like getting to listen to her. It was a super cool experience just getting to like be there for someone who like needed it.
How did you
grab it? Oh yeah, so I knew she was Filipino because of the accent. So I did the mano, which is like you take the elder's hand and you put it to her forehead. And then I did that to her while we were saying bye. She's like, oh, you're Filipino? I'm like, yeah. So that was pretty funny.
Okay, we're in overtime, but Bob gave me permission to keep going, right? Yeah, okay, thanks, Bob. I won't look in this direction where the pastors are. I'm gonna look in this direction, he's gonna give me a go. Okay, real quick. There were a lot of encounters that we had that I know you guys were surprised at, that you were kind of, I know, taken aback on some of their responses So yeah, can you guys real quick just share a few of what those were? You guys can bounce around the mic.
Okay, so one that kind of surprised me was, I think actually like two very similar encounters that surprised me was when we were going door to door, and Delilah and I were going up to people who were like walking by. So we were just trying to like talk to as many people as possible. So while Grant and Mimi were like talking to people going door to door, like we would just go and like be like, what's up to like people who are just walking by. And the first people that we kind of talked to was this couple, and they were walking their dog. And at first, I was kind of like intimidated by them because the dude was kind of just standing there, like kind of like hunched over, like just looking at me. And I was like, oh man, like this conversation is gonna be like kind of dry. And I mean, even throughout like the conversation, he didn't talk much, but they revealed, like we found out that they were Christians too. And it was kind of the same thing as like when we went out to the Pike. And I was like, oh shoot, like praise God, like we're meeting, you know, other Christians. And the lady was, the wife was more talkative, and she was just kind of like encouraging us in the same way that the evangelist encouraged us. And I was just kind of surprised because I was like, oh, like, you know, they didn't seem like they were like very, you know, oh yeah, I guess open. And, you know, once we started talking, I kind of, yeah, it was, I was just kind of taken aback because I was like, oh, shoot, like, you know, they're Christians too, and they really encourage us. And I don't know, it's just something small, but yeah.
I think the thing that surprised me most, not to toot my own horn or anything, but I think the thing that surprised me most is like my own resilience and my ability to like just lock in most of the time. Just because life has been throwing a lot of BS my way. They're throwing the Kershaw curve and I can't read the seams. Yeah, like so I was just like going into this retreat, I'm like, dang, like I'm not in a good place spiritually, mentally, and it just didn't feel fair. But I knew that this is my second to last retreat as a senior, so I'm like, okay, let me like make the most out of it. And I think just like seeing everyone around me's just like excitement, and just being able to put aside my own personal things, I think what like reminded me that of that most was Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like I have everything I need right in front of me. It's these guys, and I think like what surprised me was just like, even like the rookies, the freshmen, Dell, Eli, even like Josh on door to door, like I think just seeing like their excitement after, like I remember when I first did it, I was like super nervous, super scared, and even like super discouraged. But just like seeing them be like, oh yeah, that was a good time. I'm like, oh word, okay, cool, yeah, let's do this. So I think just like being able to bounce off each other's energy, I think that was like super surprising, but I think it was super good.
I think it was interesting too when you guys were out doing evangelism, being spirit-led, hearing from the Lord and sharing his love. It was so interesting that some of the responses of the people that you interacted with was very opposite, I think, of what a lot of you were expecting. I think a lot of you were thinking about, oh, we're just getting a bunch of no's. People just aren't interested. I think some of the things that, like giving candy to people, out here in this neighborhood, some people were like trying to give you guys money, right? Like, oh, this is so nice. Well, thank you so much. And they're trying to give you guys money.
Oh yeah.
I think there was an older woman, right, who was like, wait, you don't want my money? Like, how did you even get this candy? And you're like, oh, well, our church has a budget and we bought this. And so, you know, we're going to bless you. And the lady was like, why are you using your church budget to bless me? You don't even know me. Why are you spending the church's money on a stranger? You had, I remember a couple of you guys were saying, people were like, oh, can we pray for you? And you're like, and they were like, no, we're good. We went to church this morning. So we got plenty of prayer. We got enough. There were some responses that were ones that I don't think we expect because, right, the richness of the Lord is like, come on, even more. Yeah.
And I think what we do is like as magnetic, I think what we do is countercultural. I think like high schoolers aren't going around like, oh, can we pray for you? Like, you know, when has that ever happened? I think what we're doing is important, like just for the future generation, being an example, being like marking the precedent. Like obviously a lot of teenagers are growing in their faith as Christians, and obviously that's understandable. But if we get a head start and we're like, we're already booking it down the lane, I think we can only, it's only up from here in our young adult and like future adult, like, and if we're able to like increase that in our like our own circles, I think that's like, I don't know, that's the Lord's work.
Drop the mic, let's get out. We're good.
You know, one thing that's very important to me as the pastor of the church, I want our church to be a place where we hear everyone's voice. I want to, because we're a family, and God is moving through from the senior, the people, to the little kids. And it's very important for me. I really want, thank you guys for sharing, because you're sharing your faith, your walk with the Lord, with us, and you bring things that we need. You carry things that we need. Like, how many of the adults have been on treasure hunts or have gone door to door?
We'll take
you. Or things, yeah. So like one thing is one of our small group, they do the beach cleanup. So I asked someone in our small group like, hey, that's a cool thing. Let's do it as our families in our small group. Let's do a beach cleanup. And so they carry stuff that we need. We carry stuff that they need. That's what it is to walk as a family. Let's have the worship team come on up. I know the service is getting late, but I did want us, one thing I did want, I feel like because the youth stepped out in faith like this, talked about how testing, when we put ourselves willingly into situations where we have to depend on the Lord meets us in that place. So I feel like because they've done that, they're carrying something from this past weekend. And so we're going to make it a little shorter, but I think they're going to sing three songs. And but we're going to, I asked Jerry and the youth if they could be prayer ministers for today. And so some of you, like we talked about, some of you are facing situations where you're being tempted to lose heart. You're being challenged to lose heart. Some of you are going through things, facing situations. Some of us have unknowingly or unconsciously closed the door to the Lord in different areas of our lives. And I feel like there's an anointing on our youth because of what they did. And the Lord met them. And so I'm going to use a little reverse psychology. Come up for prayer for them because they want to pray for people. So don't deprive them of the opportunity to minister. And so we're going to have about three songs. I'm going to just have this time of prayer. The youth will be up here in pairs, I think. And then just, if you just want a blessing, if you're something you want prayer for, let the Lord work through them to minister and bless you. Okay. Lord, thanks for our time. So proud of the youth. Thank you for faithfully meeting them and growing them. And Lord, today we just say, Lord, we open our heart to you. You are knocking. You are knocking. You want us to open up all the doors of our life to you. So we do that because you're good. We want to experience more of you. We want to encounter you. We want to taste more of your love for us. And so this morning we do that, Lord. So Holy Spirit, what you've deposited, would you come and stir and just give freedom to the youth to speak, to pray freely from their spirit, from their heart, and use it to bless and minister to each and every one that comes forward. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.